The Gospel according to Luke chapter 20. These words will also serve as the basis for the sermon today. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her?" Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Amen. Many people have questions about the resurrection, about what heaven will be like, and you're probably one of them. Questions like, if we notice someone else who's not there in heaven, will that make us sad? Will there be pets in heaven? Will we all have wings and harps in heaven? Will we recognize each other in heaven? Or will we all be like strangers to one another? Will there be work in heaven? Will heaven be like one long church service? There are so many people who have questions about the resurrection, but on the other hand, there are also people who just plain question the resurrection. They doubt it or they dismiss it altogether. There during Holy Week in the temple, Jesus spent an awful lot of time teaching and also fielding questions. So many people came up to Jesus trying to test him and to trick him and to trap him. Yet Jesus answered all their questions and taught them exactly what they needed to hear. Today, that's what Jesus does for you and me as well. He answers our questions, and he teaches us exactly what we need to know so that there can be no more question. The dead do rise. As God's worthy people, as God's dear children, and as God's name shows. In our section of the gospel from Luke chapter 20 for this weekend, it was the Sadducees who came up to ask Jesus this question about the resurrection. Now, who were the Sadducees again? Well, the Sadducees, together with the Pharisees, were the two main parties that made up the Jewish ruling council known as the Sanhedrin. There were many more Pharisees in Israel than there were Sadducees. The Sadducees only listened to the first five books of the Old Testament, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection or in angels, and then it makes sense that since they really focused most on this age, that Sadducees were generally from wealthy families. They were also always willing to cooperate with the Romans so that they could have more prestigious positions, like being chief priests or the high priest. And actually, at the time of Jesus and shortly thereafter, it was the Sadducees who were in power in that Sanhedrin, that Jewish ruling council. So the Sadducees came to Jesus with a question about the resurrection, but remember, they didn't believe in the resurrection. So what they were asking was really not a question at all. The Sadducees were using a very special circumstance to try to make a statement about the resurrection and just how silly and how foolish it was. Jesus, on the other hand, if you can imagine this communication as it's happening, Jesus answers with a statement, but he's trying to get them to question their unbelief. Jesus talks about how there are people in this age, but those who are considered worthy of the age to come. Jesus actually takes for granted that there is a resurrection. And he can do that because concepts like God and reward and punishment and eternity are woven so deeply into the fabric of the human heart. But what Jesus says there, those who are considered worthy of the resurrection and of the next age, is to get them to question, am I worthy? Will I be considered worthy to be there in the resurrection? That's what Jesus wanted the Sadducees to ask themselves. And as we look at this section of Scripture, that's what Jesus wants you and me to ask ourselves as well. So are we worthy of the resurrection? Well, unlike the Sadducees, few, if any of us today in this room, I'm guessing, would deny the resurrection. Though many of us have probably had doubts about it, and perhaps those doubts have grown bigger and more frequent the longer we live in this age. But just like the Sadducees, you and I have often loved the things of this life more than looking forward to the things of the next life. Why would I want to go to heaven if I've got this toy or that game here? If I've got this project or that event coming up? If I've got this person or that relationship in this life, why would I want to even bother being in heaven? I love the things here so much. It sounds kind of silly, kind of foolish, kind of like nonsense to be in heaven just floating around or something. So you and I often dismiss the resurrection. And instead, we look for ways to put off thinking about it. We look for ways to position ourselves for more wealth, more pleasure, more control right here. So you and I are just like the Sadducees, aren't we? Are we worthy of the resurrection? No, we're not. But notice Jesus didn't say if we are worthy. He said those who are considered worthy. When God looks at you and me, who believe in Jesus, who put our trust in him, God sees Jesus who took part in our humanity, Jesus who took part in our obedience, Jesus who took part in our death for us. And he says, you will take part in the resurrection. When God looks at his son Jesus, he considers him worthy, so he considers us worthy too. And isn't that an even bigger miracle than the resurrection itself? That God would consider you and me worthy. The dead do rise, and you and I and all believers too, as God's worthy people, but also as God's dear children. The Sadducees came to Jesus introducing their question with a law from the books of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 25. It had to do with when a married man dies, his brother happened to be living with him, and there were no children, his brother would then marry the widow, and so that the first son of that relationship would carry on the uncle's name. This law was in effect for two reasons. First, it was so that a person's line, his family name, didn't die out, but it was also protection for the widow, so that the widow would not be abandoned to marry a foreigner. Now, in this question that the Sadducees raised, they talked about kind of a strange situation, maybe a ridiculous-sounding situation, Seven brothers, all married to the same woman, one after another, but no children through any of those relationships. We might wonder, could that even happen? Well, in Matthew's gospel, the Sadducees said there was a man among us, giving the impression that this was an actual situation. And actually, you've probably heard the phrase, just when I thought I had seen it all, then this or that happened, right? So it's possible, but even if the situation was made up, it exposes a real problem that all of us humans have. It's a real problem for us to grasp exactly what heaven will be like, because all we know is life down here, right? So if heaven will be pleasure, does that mean it will be like standing next to a 10-foot-tall chocolate fondue fountain with all kinds of plates full of pretzels and strawberries and bananas all around us? Is that what heaven will be like? Or if heaven is peaceful, will it be like an all-inclusive cruise or a resort? Or if heaven is like joyful togetherness, will it be like one long honeymoon full of intimacy? Marriage is the closest relationship that God has given us here in this world, the two becoming one. But Jesus says that heaven won't be like that. There's marriage here, but there's no marriage in heaven. In heaven, we'll be like the angels, Jesus says. And notice he doesn't say that we will be angels or turn into angels or sprout wings like angels. No. Jesus says that we will be like the angels in these two ways, that we won't get married and that we won't die. Jesus wanted to impress on the Sadducees, who didn't believe in angels, that angels are real and angels are going to be around forever. But Jesus helps you and me understand what heaven will be like. The relationship that he talks about here is we'll be children of God, children of the resurrection. Jesus wants you and me to remember that that's the most important relationship in heaven, our relationship with God. It's our relationship with him, that we are his children, that we find all of our peace and all of our pleasure and all of our joy. And that helps put all of our other questions about heaven into perspective, doesn't it? Because if I am there with God himself, as God's child, will it really bother me if someone else is not there according to God's just and holy judgment? If I'm there as God's child, along with the rest of God's children, children of the same person living in the same place, how could it be possible that I wouldn't know them and know them well, my brothers and sisters? If I am God's child living with him forever in heaven, no death, that means there's also no jealousy, no selfishness, no fighting, things that lead to death. If I'm there as God's child in heaven, that means I can think of the best parent-child relationship here, a relationship full of long, profound discussions, eating meals together, laughing at each other's jokes, going on trips together, helping out with projects around the house or around the yard, worshiping together, playing games together. I can think of the best parent-child relationship here and know that that's just a shadow of what's to come in heaven, because I am God's dear child by Jesus Christ. Fellow brothers and sisters, dead do rise, and you and I, together with all believers, will rise never to die again as God's dear child. But also, as God's word, God's name shows. You can tell a lot about God by his names. The name God shows that he's powerful. The name Lord, with just the first L being capitalized, that shows that God's in charge. The name Lord, with all capital letters, that shows that God always keeps his promises and he never changes. Jesus uses God's name here to show that the dead do rise. And he took the Sadducees back to Moses. Can you just imagine the Sadducees perking up and paying attention as Jesus mentions Moses and the burning bush? There, Moses called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Yet when Moses was talking to the Lord at the burning bush, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had already been in the ground for 500 years. It was over 500 years since they were wandering around with their tents in and around Canaan. Jesus wanted the Sadducees to know, and you and me too, God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. For to him all are alive. Even at the time of Jesus and the Sadducees there in the temple, to God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive. Even at our time, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive because God's name shows that. He is the God of the living. And even today, he is the God of Arno Kayser and the God of Eugene Kether and the God of William Ausovich. He is the God of Mary Schwenke, the God of Louise Zastrow, and the God of Ron Hammond. Even today, he is the God of Dean Strauss, and the God of Jiggs Yankee, and the God of Marilyn Grunewald. And today, he is also the God of Robert Locke. He is the God of all of your friends and family members who have died in faith. For to him, all are alive. He is the God who made them and bought them back and set them apart by his gospel. He is the God who called them worthy and considers them his dear children and put his name on them. And he did the same thing for you and for me. In your baptism, God put his name on you, the God of the living, not of the dead. At the cross there, Jesus won life for you. At communion today, Jesus gives this life to you in his body and his blood. He is the God of the living. So even when your heart stops beating and the neurons stop firing and your body grows cold, he is your God, the God of the living. Even long after your body is sealed in a coffin or placed in a chamber or turns back to ashes and dust, he is your God, the God of the living. That's what his name shows. The dead do rise. You will too, never to die again, as God's name shows. After this little interaction with the Sadducees, no one dared to ask Jesus any more questions. But the Sadducees kept asking each other questions. How can we get rid of this guy? When can we kill him? Who will help us? They thought their answer was in a traitor and some silver, in a nighttime trial and some false witnesses, in a Roman sentencing and a couple beams of wood. But they were wrong, because the dead do rise. Jesus taught it. Jesus foretold it. Jesus proved it there on Easter. And today, Jesus invites you and me to believe it. The dead do rise. This is not just to satisfy our curiosity or give us more information or to help us follow along with a bigger group. This is for you and me, because one day death will come for us, just like it came for those seven brothers, just like it came for those Sadducees. But when death comes for you, it will not keep its hold on you. It will not swallow you up, because your God is the God of the living. Your God is the God who gave you life and sustains you life and will give you life for all eternity. The dead do rise. You and I and all believers, as God's worthy people, as God's dear children, and as God's name shows. To God be the glory. Amen. Please stand.